The Bible says about faithfulness, about a faithful person. In Proverbs 20, verse 6, it says, most men will proclaim each his own goodness. But listen carefully. But who can find a faithful man?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, hello everyone. My name is Brian Whitaker, and on behalf of Pastor Bill, we want to welcome you to Love Never Fails. We're currently airing Pastor's study from the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, and his study continues today with the message, What is a Faithful Man? Let's find out. Here's Pastor Bill.
Let's continue our study in the book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament tonight. We're going to be in chapter 7. It's the longest chapter, by the way, in Nehemiah. It's 73 verses and a very lengthy chapter. And you're going to see in a moment as I pronounce 450,000 names in Hebrew. Just joking, of course. Remember that the book of Nehemiah, one of my favorite books, loved one, listen, it is a great study. It is a treasure chest, if you will, on leadership. So as we enter chapter 7, for the first 7 chapters, remember, it's been about Nehemiah and the people there in Jerusalem, the rebuilding of the wall. Now, the remaining chapters have to do with revival and reform that's going to be brought to the children here of Israel in Jerusalem. So leadership, remember, nothing happens, absolutely nothing in the church, in your family, in this nation, in a business, nothing happens without leadership. It is a divine must, if you will. And if there's ever been a time in our nation when we need especially our government to step into godly leadership, it is today. Amen. Now, with all that being said, we left off last time. Nehemiah, he stood his ground, remember? He would not fall to the schemes of the enemy. They wanted him to leave Jerusalem and meet them out at Ono and all that. He wouldn't compromise in his walk with the Lord at all. He stood his ground because he knew that if he left, he told them, even though for 4 or 5 times they tempted him to go and to leave Jerusalem, he sent messengers to Sanballat and all the rest of them and said, listen, I am doing a great work for God. I love that, don't you? Do you know, like I said last Wednesday night, you are doing a great work for God. Amen? And he says, why would I leave so that the work of God would cease? You see, leadership is vital. He didn't leave, and the work did not cease. And of course, we learn that he did finish the wall. And that happens, of course, in chapter 7. You know, there is great joy and tremendous satisfaction when you know you're working for God in a specific task, and then the work comes to an end. In other words, you complete it. That is a wonderful time of celebration. So Nehemiah came from Persia. He wasn't a priest. He wasn't a prophet. He was the cupbearer to the king of Persia. He was just a layman, if you will. And he came, and you know what he did? He built the wall exactly like he said he was going to do. Now that the job is done, now that the wall is built or rebuilt, and the gates, of course, are hung and so forth, what happens now? Is it time to relax? Once God's work, a specific task from God is done, is it time to just say, okay, let's go on a vacation, let's take, you know? No, it's not. You know, how we handle a success and how we handle achievement tells us a lot about ourselves, especially the church. You know, do you remember back when we built phase 1? Do you remember the excitement? I mean, everybody was involved. The giving was just unbelievable, there was a great commitment to it. But then the moment it was built, we all had great joy. We dedicated the building and so forth, and then it was finished. And when it was, people say, well, I've done my part. I say, what do you mean you've done your part? We're just now getting started. It's transition time. And that's exactly what's happening in chapter 7. Chapter 7 is all about a transition. We're going to go from rebuilding to now restoring. the people and getting them right with God. Ezra is going to be coming in chapter 8, the scribe and so forth. So chapters 1 through 6 had to do with rebuilding the wall. And of course, there was tremendous opposition. And then chapters 7 through 13, now Nehemiah, or actually he's going to commit leadership to someone else, now is about managing what God has built through the people. Very, very important. Listen, it takes leaders to manage what God has built. Amen? Always. You see, without leadership, nothing gets done. So with all that in mind, let's look tonight at what is a faithful man, beginning in chapter 7, verse 1. And then it was when the wall was built, Nehemiah says, I had hung the doors, and when the gatekeepers and the singers, or the worship leaders, if you will, and the Levites, those who assist the priest in the temple, had been appointed. So the wall is built. There's still a lot of work to be done. The first thing that Nehemiah, the leader, does is he appoints other leaders. He brings in the worship team. He brings in the priest. He gets everything back in order, but he also brings in another group of people, and that is the gatekeepers. Now listen, you cannot, we cannot ever maintain what God has built if we don't have leadership to do it. Amen? Very, very important. Again, without leadership, nothing is accomplished. So Nehemiah selects three different groups. Of course, the Levites who work along with the priest, as I've already said, the worship leaders, but then the gatekeepers. The gatekeepers, they were the guards. They were the watchmen, if you will. You know, now, they built the wall around Jerusalem, or rebuilt it, because without a wall, the city's defenseless. But just because you have a wall, and just now that you have the gates and everything is secure, a wall is only as good as the people who are on the wall guarding the city. Amen? Boy, that's so vital that we see this. Everything in life rises and falls on leadership. Now look at verse 2. He says that I gave the charge of Jerusalem to my brother Hanani, and that means, his name means God is gracious, and then to Hananiah, that word means, his Hebrew name means God has given. So he says he gave it to these two men, one being his brother, the leader of the citadel or the palace. Now listen carefully. For he was a faithful man, and he feared God more than many, meaning above many, many people. Would you love for someone to say that about you? That you're a faithful woman, that you're a faithful man, that you fear God with all of your heart, that all you want to do is please the Lord. Listen, I'm assuming this verse here indicates that Nehemiah is now going to return to the king of Persia. He promised the king, when I'm finished with the rebuilding of the wall, getting all the work done, I'm going to return to you as he promised. So he gives charge to his brother and to the other individual. But did you notice that he didn't turn it over and say, well, this guy's a good businessman, or he's a very smart person, or he's a great educated person. Nothing wrong with those things. He turned it over to a man who was a faithful man and a man who feared God. Do you remember before the southern kingdom, meaning Judah, before they fell to Babylon? Do you remember what happened when Jeremiah the prophet, God sent Jeremiah the prophet to the people? And he says this in Jeremiah 5:1. He says, God says, I want you, Jeremiah, you run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem and see now and know, and I want you to search in all the open places if you can find a man, if there is anyone, meaning in all the city of Jerusalem and all the southern kingdom, if there is anyone who execute or literally practices judgment, if there's anyone who practices honesty, if there's anyone who seeks the truth about me and how to live right and conduct himself in this life, I will pardon her. Man, that is a great word from God, isn't it? And you know what happens? Listen, God says, if you can find just one honest, faithful person, because faith is the only thing that pleases God. If you can find one faithful person, man, woman, child, doesn't matter, Jeremiah, if you can find that person, I am going to pardon all the sins. I'll not send them into Babylonian captivity. I'll drop all the charges. Well, the question is this, did Jeremiah find one faithful man? No. Because all of the southern kingdom in 586 BC, what happened? Nebuchadnezzar came in. Man, he destroyed Jerusalem. He leveled Jerusalem. Thousands died, and he took them all into captivity for 70 years. The Bible says about faithfulness, about a faithful person. In Proverbs 20, verse 6, it says, most men will proclaim each his own goodness. But listen carefully. But who can find a faithful man? Boy, that is a tremendous word, isn't it? A faithful man, a faithful woman, a faithful Christian. You know, if you're single and you're a lady here tonight, single ladies, listen up. Don't look for a man, look for a faithful man. Amen? Don't look for a good-looking man. A faithful man is a good-looking man. Amen? Don't look for a rich man. Look for a faithful man, because a faithful man will be a rich man with God. You follow me? Boy, that is so important. Faithful women, faithful men, and so forth. It says in Psalm 12:1, David cries out, the psalmist, he says, oh, help me, Lord. Now, he's praying. For the godly man ceases, here it comes, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of God, the sons of men. You know, I've said this over the last 25 years, and I'll say it until the day the Lord either takes me home or puts me in the rocking chair. You know what I mean? Every battle that you face in this life and every battle that I face in this life is literally over the Word of God, not the devil, not the flesh, not anyone that's coming against you. It's one thing. Do you believe the God who cannot lie? Do you believe the Word of God? You see, the devil is our enemy. You know that he wants you to walk in doubt. He wants you to walk in unbelief. He wants you to listen to the voice of a stranger. He doesn't ever want you to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. He always targets our faith. He hates faith. Because he knows the Bible. He knows what the Bible says. Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. There's not any other way for a believer to live. It's only by faith. The Bible tells us in Romans, what is it? I don't know, 14, 21 or 22, maybe it's 23. For whatsoever is not of faith is what? Is sin. That's a big word. Did you know that? Think about that. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The Bible tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. That means that when you hear the Word of God being preached, something happens in your heart, whether you know it or not. God's purpose is for the Word of God, when it's being preached, faith cometh by hearing the Word of God, is for the information here, the Logos, the information on these pages to become the rhema in your heart or the living revelation. It means to come alive in your heart. That's what God wants. Listen, a scripture that you know by heart, Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is difficult to please God. It's impossible. Think about that. Without faith, and you say, well, Bill, you know, I don't have any faith. Yes, you do. Romans 12:3, God has given a measure of faith to each one of us. We already have it in us, okay? And now we grow that faith. It is impossible without faith, absolutely impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that God is a rewarder. He loves you, man. He wants to bless you. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The object of our faith, what is a faithful man? He has an object. And the object of a faithful man, faithful woman's faith is Jesus Christ. You know, it says in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The Bible tells us that a faithful man, a faithful woman, 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says that we walk by faith and not by sight. We're always looking to our Lord. And do you know why the devil hates faith so much and he doesn't want you to walk in faith? Because Ephesians 6:16, I believe it is, what does it say? Above all, taking up the shield of faith by which you will be able to quench 25%. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the NIV version. No, you will be able to quench what? All the fiery darts of the wicked one, all of them. All you have to do is obey the command to take it up. Every time he throws a dart at you, another lie, you say, oh no, I know the God's word. And God's word doesn't say that about me. Listen, you have already won. You are not a loser, and you'll never be a loser in the eyes of God. Don't ever tell yourself that. Amen? Yes, you need to speak what you know, like it says in Philemon, that you would be confessing every good thing which is in you, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You are in Christ. Tonight, when we partake of communion, God looks at you, and you are in Christ Jesus. He sees you as complete. He sees you seated with Christ in the heavenlies. He sees no condemnation to you. Amen? We must know who we are in the Lord. We're talking about a faithful man. That's why the devil, he hates faith. He doesn't want you to take up the shield of faith ever. You remember when Timothy or Paul was writing to Timothy? Listen to what he said. He said in 1 Timothy 1:11, he said, Paul writes to Timothy saying, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, here it comes, which was committed to my trust, and I thank God, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me, given me the strength that I need, that empowered me, here it comes, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. You know what a faithful man is or a faithful woman? A faithful man and a faithful woman is a person that God trusts. Isn't it amazing that God can trust you? I mean, if you're a faithful man, a faithful woman, Paul just said it right there, an incredible word. God counted me faithful. God trusted Paul. Listen, I want God to trust me. Amen? I want him to trust you. I don't think there's a greater blessing in the world for to know in your heart, you know what? God is entrusting something to you. He's giving you the a ministry, and you have been given, your ambassadors for Christ. You've been given the ministry of reconciliation. You have a spiritual gifts that he has given unto you that you're stewards over. And it says in Corinthians that a steward must be found faithful. A steward means you own something or you have something, but it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to another. He's entrusted you with it to be found faithful by God. Said, here, I've entrusted you. Just do this little thing. You who are faithful in little things, I'll give you bigger things to do. Amen? We just walk and we keep growing and growing. And God starts trusting us more and more and more. But the second thing that Nehemiah did to this gentleman here. First of all, he was a faithful man, but the second thing, he feared God more, it says, than many people. The fear of the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 1:7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and knowledge. It says in Proverbs 9:10, it says, the fear of the Lord, not the fear of man, not the fear of others. The fear of man bringeth a snare. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning, the starting point. If you haven't started with the fear of the Lord, you haven't started in your life. It's a prerequisite. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The greatest thing that you can do in your life is to fear the Lord. It's the starting point. You know, people say, well, Bill, that just means to reverence, to be in awe. I will tell you something. I'm afraid of the one who calls himself a consuming fire. Amen? I'm afraid of the Lord. I mean, yes, I am in reverence, and I know he loves me, but listen, I mean, we're going to stand before the Lord. You know, that's going to if that doesn't shake you up, it will shake you up maybe then. I don't know. But it shakes me up now, as we're all going to give an account of the things we've done in our body. It says, whether good, whether bad, we're all going to give an account. Thank God we don't have to give an account of our sin because Jesus paid for our sin. He's talking about stewardship. But wisdom is the fear of God. Do you know, when you think about wisdom, the wisdom, where does it come from? Really, God's wisdom. You know, the Bible tells us, Job cried out and he said this. He said, where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor, here it comes, talking about wisdom, nor is it found in the land of the living. God's wisdom is not found on this planet, loved one. Oh, yes, it is in the Word of God. but it's not found on this planet. You see, the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. Amen? Yes. So every time we open God's Word, do we find the wisdom of God? Absolutely. And the wisdom of God, whenever we apply the wisdom of God, you know, the knowledge that we gain, that's then we're applying the wisdom of God into our life. So wisdom is God's knowledge applied, being a doer of the word. Now listen, nothing happens at all until someone provides leadership for it. And since we're talking about leaders in the church, we can put it to you this way. Nothing or no one or whatever, nothing happens until someone provides leadership for it and provides leadership by applying God's wisdom to the situation. Not our wisdom, but God's wisdom. You know, maybe tonight you're going through a trial. Maybe you're facing something. I don't know about you. I need to ask God for wisdom every day. I mean, I need God's wisdom. You know, I meet a whole bunch of people every day just like you do. And every morning before I leave in my private prayer time, I say, Lord, I need your wisdom. I want whatever I say, I want your wisdom to come out. I want to be able to discern what I am to say and I'm not to say to anyone that I meet. So, you know, if you are in a trial, you're going through a situation, remember what James writes in James 1:5. Let me read it to you. He says, if any one of you, any believer in this chapel tonight, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally. Boy, he wants to pour it out upon you. And without reproach, and listen carefully, it will be given. What are you facing right now that requires you to say, I need wisdom? I need wisdom. If you read the first chapter of the book of James, even though he's talking about trials, the things that we go through in this life, the suggestion in that text there, loved one, is that God's wisdom, now listen, God's wisdom comes by when we study the word, amen? But you can have the wisdom of God and never apply the wisdom of God. Does that make sense? In other words, you can have the knowledge of God, but if you don't apply the knowledge of God, which is the wisdom of God, it's not going to do you any good. Now, all you just puffed up, you just have a bunch of knowledge and not doing anything with it. But if you read James about wisdom, and I pray you don't miss this, the suggestion there in James chapter 1 is that wisdom from God comes through and by prayer to God. The Bible says in James 4:2, you have not because you ask not. James says it doesn't come through study, but yes, it does and it can, but not here. He says, do you lack wisdom? Are you in a situation? You don't know what to do. You can't find it in the word. You're up against the wall. God says, listen, man, you get on your knees. You come to me. You cry out to me because prayer is the work. Your answer is in heaven. And God says, I have it. All you have to do is go to it. Listen, the measure of your desire for an answer from God will be the measure of your possession. I believe that with all my heart. Listen to what it says in Proverbs 2:3. It says, yes, if you cry out, meaning in prayer, for discernment, and if you lift up your voice, meaning in prayer, for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord, find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth. And from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Listen to this. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright, and that is you. No wonder Jesus told us in Matthew 7:7, he said, ask and it shall be given to you. Knock and the door shall be open. Seek and you shall find. Amen? Those are all imperatives in the Greek. Keep on knocking. Keep on seeking. Keep on asking. Like Jesus said in Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and what? Not faint, not ever be discouraged. Don't ever give up. Why? Prayer is the work. You need wisdom tonight. You need wisdom tomorrow morning. When you go into your prayer room and you close that door and you get alone with you and just God, your Father, who loves you, say, Lord, I need wisdom. You promised to give it to me. You said you'd give it to me liberally. It doesn't do any Christian any good to go into your prayer closet, shut the door. If you don't believe God is there, what's the purpose?
Once again, we're out of time, but please tune in tomorrow to hear the conclusion of today's message. And we want to thank you for spending some of your day with us. We appreciate you so much. Have a great day, everyone, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.